From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Good news for a Kodiak tanner crab fisherman. There will be a January fishery. It'll be small, but the pots can go in the water. Fisheries at Chignik and South Peninsula will remain closed, though the outlook for those areas appears promising. A bear messing with a pipe appears to be the cause of an oil spill at the Katoy Bay hatchery near Kodiak. Thinking about getting out of fishing? Seaweed farming is an up-and-coming industry, and a nonprofit fisheries organization wants to introduce fishermen to the new business. The deadline to apply for special training in Ketchikan, Sitka, and Kodiak is December 20th. And if you didn't make it to the Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle, we have a report with the highlights of this year's events. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Kodiak tanner crab fishermen will have the chance to drop their pots in a small January fishery. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has details.
It's a go for Kodiak's tanner crab fishery, albeit a small one. The mid-January opener will have a combined 400,000-pound catch limit in two areas, the minimum to open a fishery. Crabbers will tap on the tail end of a big tanner year class from 2013.
We first saw them in 2013 in the survey, and that's kind of the cohort that we fished in 2018 and 2019, and 2020 is probably going to be the last fishery on that specific cohort.
Natura Richardson is assistant area manager for the Westward region at Fish and Game at Kodiak. Despite the low catch, she says managers don't expect the fishery to go that fast.
We don't have any conservation concerns because there are so many mature crab in the water, so we still feel that we are leaving a good standing stock to reproduce. But because of that, people are going to be seeing a lot of non-target crab and not as many legal crabs. So probably not going to be high catch per unit effort. It's going to be a little bit more work to get to the legal males.
Only mature male crabs can be retained for sale. At average weights of 2.2 pounds, the fishery should produce 182,000 crabs. Looking ahead, surveys have been tracking the biggest pulse of crab they've ever seen for several years. They'll likely enter the fishery by 2022.
We saw the next pulse in the survey last year, and we saw them again this year. So we have a lot of hope that they will continue to track through the population. That definitely looks promising for future fisheries.
Last season, 82 crabbers dropped pots for 615,000 pounds of tanners at Kodiak. The statewide average price was $3.94 a pound.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
A 1,200-gallon oil spill occurred in late November at the Katoy Bay Hatchery on the southeastern end of Afognak Island. According to Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association, which manages the hatchery, a crack in a small underground pipe was to blame. Trent Dodson is the production and operations manager for KRAA.
So what we suspect, of course, we have really no way of knowing, but what it looks like is possibly a bear leaned up against or brushed up or even just pushed on the pipeline where it goes into the ground on that elbow and just tweaked it enough for it to break.
The hatchery only pumps fuel through the pipe system about once a month. The last pumping occurred on a Wednesday, and hatchery staff noticed the oil sheen on the surface of the bay early Friday afternoon. The cracked pipe was replaced within a few hours of discovering the leak, which is right where the creek, which carries the hatchery salmon run, hits saltwater. The hatchery raises pink, chum, coho, and sockeye salmon. Dodson said the timing was lucky because they didn't have any salmon running in the creek this time of the year and no young fish being raised in the pens in the bay.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
There's a new opportunity coming up in February in three Alaskan communities for people interested in getting into the up-and-coming industry of farming seaweed. The training is geared toward those in commercial fishing, tribal organizations, or coastal residents. Julie Decker is the executive director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, a nonprofit founded in 1978. Over the past 5 years, the foundation has spearheaded an initiative to grow mariculture in the state. Decker notes an increase in the number of people looking to get a start in the industry, whether it's shellfish or seaweed farming.
We've also recognized that seaweed is sort of the entry point for the industry because it's relatively cheaper gear, so less capital needs to get involved. It's also an annual crop, so cash flow is a little bit easier.
The training will include an online webinar and in-person workshops planned for 10 people in each of the three locations, along with mentoring for a select few. Decker says they're looking for applicants who have experience on the water.
So that we think that they'll be fairly successful from the get-go, since this is not a long workshop. You know, there's not a lot that goes into it, but I think it's enough to give people that have, say, some skills working on the water already, give them an understanding of the application process and some other things about how to grow seaweed that would make them successful.
Seaweed farming is seen as a natural fit for those in the commercial fishing industry, with the boats and the gear that could be used to set up a farm and a fishing season that often cries out for off-season opportunities. It's a well-established industry in other parts of the globe and one that's just starting to take off in Alaska. But it is gathering momentum here. A Juneau company, Barnacle Seafoods, just won first place in the retail category for the Symphony of Seafood contest with a bullwhip kelp hot sauce. And 4 out of the 20 entries in that annual competition were seaweed products. The training is free, but applicants from outside those three communities, that being Kodiak, Ketchikan, and Sitka, have to pay their own travel and lodging. Applications are being accepted online until December 20th.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
For commercial fishermen, processors, and small businesses, it's the place to be. That place is the Pacific Marine Fish Expo in Seattle, which is generally held the week before Thanksgiving. KDLG's Izzy Ross checked it out and confirmed that Bristol Bay's rich salmon fisheries and concerns about the proposed Pebble Mine were once again hot topics.
The expo was winding down on Saturday morning, but Naknek fisherman Reba Temple is causing a stir with her unusual getup, made of the mesh netting that salmon tenders use to collect a catch.
It's made out of scraps of brailer material, so there's grommets and mesh brailer material and black straps, and it's a ball gown.
Temple says the expo is a great place to catch up with the people and the products in the industry.
Everyone's here. You can talk to your processors, you can talk to your friends, see hydraulic pumps cut open so you actually know they work.
Stickers and signs say "No Pebble Mine" adorn booths, as they have in the past decade. The mine would tap large copper and gold deposits near the headwaters of two major river systems in Bristol Bay. And as the Trump administration breathes new life into the project, many people here are worried.
Nothing in the world has zero risk. And especially when you start talking about a mine, a project of this size, with the existing data that show very definitively that there will be impacts.
Daniel Schindler is based in Seattle, but spends summers in Bristol Bay as the director of the University of Washington's Alaska Salmon Program. He kicked off the expo's keynote panel, an update on how the Pebble proposal is winding through the federal permitting process. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released its draft environmental review in February. A final version is expected in a few months. The Environmental Protection Agency's regional office had weighed in with some concerns, and Schindler is worried too.
The waste that they produce will have to be stored on site, and people talk about in perpetuity, and that sounds like a biblical term, but it's a reality. This material that will be left behind will be there until the next ice age.
Pebble spokesperson Mike Heatwell said the partnership would have liked to participate in the panel, but was not invited. But it's not all resource politics here. Jamie O'Connor recently published a collection of poems, stories, art, and recipes from 50 young fishermen and mentors. She herself works a setnet site in Bristol Bay in Ekuk. It's the second volume of the Alaska Young Fisherman's Almanac.
I've heard from folks who fish, and they've told me that they turn to it when they're feeling kind of lonely for some of that fish magic. And then people outside of the industry can get a really good look at what it's like to do what we do and why it's important and why it should be preserved.
The economic output for Bristol Bay, meanwhile, is mixed. The preliminary ex-vessel value, the total amount paid to fishermen in 2019, broke all previous records this year. But the news wasn't all stellar. A regional fisheries marketing group, the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, says wholesale prices for fillets, headed and gutted fish, and farmed salmon were all lower, and so was sales volume. Not all of the businesses were Pacific Northwest giants headquartered around Seattle. By all accounts, the Naknek-based Bristol Bay Brailer Company had a whirlwind 3 days selling brailers. Company manager Diane Hill says they're going into their fifth season, and it's looking busy.
There's a lot of new boats being built, and they're interested in our brailers. I think our biggest challenge is our population's so small is finding full-time workers. So we are hesitant to introduce new products till we have a really good, solid staff year-round. So we'll just stick with our basics and then, you know, see what happens from there.
The three-day event wrapped up Saturday, but many of these people will be seeing each other again in the not-too-distant future. There will be a reunion of sorts this summer in Bristol Bay when the fishing begins in earnest. Reporting in Seattle, I'm Izzy Ross.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Joe Vicknicki at KFSK in Petersburg, Izzy Ross at KDLG in Dillingham, Kavitha George with Alaska's Energy Desk in Kodiak, and Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio. If you'll be fishing this winter, do be careful and make sure your survival gear is ready to go. That cold winter water is not very forgiving, and we want to make sure you enjoy the holiday season. A big thank you to everyone who helps make this program possible, including you, our listeners. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Walsh.